As children, we all eat with our hands. We do it chaotically, messily, then over time are coaxed to use utensils or eat neatly with our fingers. Eating with your hands isn't exclusive to any particular culture or region of the world. As writer Serena Alagapan points out, it's a common practice in Ethiopian cuisine, Oaxacan cuisine, many South Asian cultures, the Middle East, Africa, and South America. But somewhere along the way, it was deemed uncivilized and unhygienic. Yet the practice has persisted. She explores the history in her Juggernaut story, How the West Deemed Eating with Your Hands Uncivilized. Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me and for reading the piece.
I love the piece because, you know, I was a chef for many years, and every time I was in a group of chefs, you know, where we're all casually eating, I always noticed how much we ate with our hands. I've always thought that it's just a way of being more, I don't know, intimate with the food. In your story, you write so beautifully. You begin the story with, I love the crunch of orad dal, chana dal, and mustard seeds popped in hot oil, then pushed forward by my thumb. I love when grains of rice made yellow with turmeric and tangy with lemon juice move from my fingers to my tongue. I notice the turmeric dyeing the skin around my nails. I savor the sambar, how the tips of my fingers are pruned by the time dinner comes to a close. That's just so evocative.
Thank you.
Was there a certain age where you realized you were kind of being prepped to use utensils for the outside world?
You know, I kind of remember learning how to eat with my hands alongside learning how to eat with utensils. I think that's probably one of the most common misconceptions about eating with your hands. There is also technique to it, and those techniques vary wildly between different regions and even different households and families. But yeah, I think I learned those things alongside each other. And for me, eating with your hands, it's really just a reminder of home and these childhood memories, especially with my father's family. My first food memories are these little rice balls that someone in my family, either my mom or aunt or grandmother, would make and then fold in some vegetables, some chicken, put it on a little piece of uplum, which is kind of lentil-based chip of sorts, and feed me. And it was just this perfect bite. So yeah, I mean, I remember learning how to make those little balls. And around the same time, I remember being taught how to use a fork and knife.
You mentioned that there are so many different ways of eating with your hands, and the etiquette around this can be quite different. Can you describe a couple of different methods?
Sure. Yeah, I'm sort of hesitant to characterize it too much because it varies so much. Oftentimes, it varies between different kinds of foods. For instance, you might rip and hold a chapati differently than you would, you know, eat your fish while avoiding bones and checking for bones. But some of the different methods include eating with just the tips of your fingers or clumping your fingers together. And then sort of, as I wrote, pushing forward the food with your thumb. Some say not to use your pinky finger or only to use three fingers, or some would use the whole palm, especially for more runny dishes. Some would even potentially use both hands if a dish required it. So again, it varies so much. But in my experience, we were told to use our right hand and mostly our fingers.
Until the last few hundred years, most of the world ate with their hands. I mean, perhaps bread acted as a utensil. How and when did people start making the shift to utensils? And how was it connected to the shift from communal to individual meals?
Yeah, so some utensils have existed for a long time. And I really didn't know so much about this until I was writing the story. But then I sort of went on this deep dive. And it really varies depending on the utensil. But for instance, knives existed for a long time to carve meat. And spoons also existed for a long time for certain liquids, for soups. But what really arrived in the last few hundred years was the table setting. And that, you know, the fork and knife at the table and the spoon at the table. But you also see this in non-Western contexts. So, you know, the rise of chopsticks, the individualized kind of disposable chopstick, didn't actually come until 1878 from Japan. And in the European context, you see the rise of silverware settings and forks not being well established in homes for those individual place settings until the 1800s. And yeah, I think that this did dovetail the shift from common dishes in the 17th century to these more individualized place settings. And it is really interesting to think about investing in the table setting as a kind of separate experience and a new social process that didn't really exist beforehand. So it's very socialized, and we kind of have naturalized the existence of table settings, but it is, you know, a relatively recent phenomenon.
I mean, I think it's so interesting how we still call table settings silverware, even though they may not be made out of silver, but the fact that they were made out of precious metals clearly points to some sort of class distinction.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can even think about with certain foods that sometimes the silverware is sort of impractical, you know, like eating peas with a fork or, you know, or rice with chopsticks. Like sometimes it doesn't even, it's not the most natural way of eating the food always, but it's something that people are trained to do. And usually it was to signal something about your class status or privilege. And it was only later that it became more common, you know, throughout society and among all different class backgrounds.
So when and why did the West begin actively stigmatizing the practice of eating with one's hands? Did they do things to try and stamp it out?
Yeah, so I think actively stigmatizing is definitely different from profound pressures to assimilate, but I think that both characterizations resonate for different people. What I found from the interviews I conducted is that many people from the South Asian context who grew up in the West felt that they were in this minority group who ate with their hands. And while I didn't personally experience this, a lot of the people I spoke to had been actively bullied or mocked or compelled in school or in camp, for instance, to use a fork. My cousin was told by a camp counselor that eating with her hands was uncivilized, which is sort of where that bit of the title came from. There is also, besides those more active kind of stigmatizing situations, there's the more insidious and covert commentary that also can cause people to abandon certain cultural practices like this one. It's not only in the diaspora or only in the West. I also interviewed some people who shared that they did face those similar kind of classist stigmatizations in South Asia. And so I was trying to represent that kind of range of perspectives, and including people who would scratch their heads and say, you know, what stigma? And I think that opinion is really important. And the article is obviously a limited context, but I did want to mention that, you know, there were a huge range of perspectives on this. And some people didn't feel that stigmatization so actively. Other people felt it acutely. So
even as many countries and cultures adopted utensils, eating with your hands has endured in South Asia and in Africa, too. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that on one hand, as you mentioned, you know, it is the shared experience for most people in the world for most of human history. So I started with that question of, you know, why has it endured? And then I sort of came around to the question of why did people start adopting utensils? In some cases, it's just because it's the practice that has resisted, you know, these other colonial interventions or these pressures to assimilate. And there's a whole host of reasons for why that might be, you know, preference. Also, you know, that there's a pleasure element, just that it can really affect the taste of food, that it, you know, harnesses people to their heritage. That was the way they were taught. That was the way they were socialized. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a whole host of reasons.
Could you speak a little bit about the pleasure and benefits to eating with your hands? Does it slow down the pace of consumption or make you more aware of what you're eating?
For many people I spoke to, and for me and for my family, I think it makes you more mindful. It makes you savor the food more, and it does slow you down. And you can really feel the temperature and the texture of the food. And you also develop, you know, as you mentioned earlier, this more intimate connection to the very thing that's going to nourish you.
One of the things I found so interesting was an interaction that you mentioned between the metallic utensil and certain foods. And you mentioned dosa, idli, and vada specifically, yeah. That they taste better without the metallic tinge of a fork. Could you talk about that?
Sure, yeah. For me, those are the first foods I think about when I think of eating with my hand, and something those are the first foods I think of when I think about a fork feeling very intrusive. But and I don't know. I mean, maybe it's something about the fluffiness of an idli. It's like, you know, clouds melting on your tongue, or the particular mix of flakiness and crunchiness and softness of dosa or vada. Like for me, these foods, they have multiple textures and I grew up feeling them. And so to think about, you know, something cold or hard or metal sort of intervening there would really feel like a departure from the way I know that food tastes and my experience of eating it. But that being said, I really love a lot of cuisines, and I don't feel that way, for instance, about spaghetti, even though I enjoy that food. So I think it is an emotional and intimate feeling I have with South Indian food in particular because of what it represents for me.
Well, thank you so much. It was really a wonderful article, and I love this conversation. Thank you, Serena.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me and for reading the piece. It means a lot.
That was Serena Alagappan, who has explored the various traditions around eating with your hands. You'll find a link to her story, How the West Deemed Eating with Your Hands Uncivilized, on our website, kcrw.com/goodfood. In a minute, globalization, political intrigue, and serendipity. The humble seed has it all. I talked to a seed detective next.